Yeah, I'm going to
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a regular scheduled meeting of the Public Safety and Transportation Committee for Wednesday, May 23rd, 2012. This meeting is being audio taped. Present is Alderman Kerylis, Alderman Yates, Alderman Johnson, Alderman Fola. We're joined by Alderman Salvucci, our committee clerk, Danielle Delaney, from the Police Department's Captain Mintz, Transportation Planner, David Kosis, and Transportation Director from the DPW, Mr. French Shuttle. I think we have everyone. Okay, 86-12, Alderman Ciccone requesting possible change of City Ordinance 19-30A, procedures for traffic council to require all traffic council meetings to be held in the evening. I've been asked by the executive office if I could hold on that. They're doing a little bit more work on working on a policy. So I can take a motion to hold.
Hold.
Alderman Yates moves hold. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
5-0. Okay. Next item is 87-12. Alderman Salucci requesting the establishment of a private parking program for the Melrose County Municipal Parking Lot in Carbondale to assist the budding businesses with parking for their employees. Alderman Salvucci.
What I'm looking for here is very simple. I thought if I could get 10 parking spaces for the people who work in the bank who are constantly out there feeding the meters and are paying $20 a week to go to work, and they have a very aggressive meter maids in the parking lot, they don't get there fast enough, they get tickets. So it's costing them a pretty penny. And I discussed this with our traffic engineer, Mr. Clint, and I told him I want to do it the simplest way possible. And the simplest way possible, I thought, was to throw bags over the meters and put up a sign, parking by permit only. And the total amount of money that's taken in that parking lot, about 2 years ago, Clint, 2 years, $13,000. So it's not a big money maker. And taking out 10 meters isn't going to make a hell of a big difference as far as the income is concerned. So that's what I thought we'd do. I think it's really something to see these people run out there in the wintertime, put quarters in the meter, and run back inside. And they stay late, they get mad, they get tanked. So that's my question.
Is this been made worse by the increase in the parking fees for the commuter rail? So now people from there are over here?
No, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of spaces in the Melrose parking lot that never get used. They never get used. And it's really a shame because it's a big parking lot. But the portion I'm picking up is the one right behind the van.
Right.
Alderman Johnson?
Now, I'm going to address questions to Mr. Clint. I didn't know you worked on Mr. Clint. So is it Chuckle Clint?
In Culver.
Yes, you
do. Isn't this what we did and we put an end to? That there was the people could have a permit. We did it in the new center, anyway. I don't know if we did it in other places, where we put a bag and people paid $150 a year or whatever it is. And that was good for Monday through Friday.
It was offered citywide.
Okay.
We didn't have anyone purchase a permit for the Melrose Ave lot.
Thank you.
Okay.
Does Clint or David have an opinion on this, or I would have also thought that we need some work to be done by their department to make a decision so that we have the data. Alderman Salvucci, I'm sure, is right that there are plenty of empty spaces, but do we need to document that? And are there other businesses? I assume this wouldn't be limited just to the bank, that other businesses in the area would have an opportunity to buy the permit.
These are not for sale. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that we sell these parking spaces.
Please clarify. I thought that.
I just want to take 10 meters out of the parking lot, period.
Oh, and anybody could park. You could park there.
if I have a permit.
And who gets, how do we, and the permits are free.
Yeah.
Why free?
It's the whole purpose of taking the meters out. It's because it's free, because they spend the 20 bucks a week on it.
Oh, I thought it would just be that they wouldn't have to run out every two hours.
No. This is to eliminate the meters, period.
For business, for employees in that area, that they don't have to pay.
No purchase.
I'd love to get Clint or David to do some work on this and come back with pros and cons and advantages and how this would also apply, what the press spent might be for other villages. And
this is a similar situation we do with the high school. We had parking with bags all over the place, right? And it was free. They didn't get the park in those spaces. I'll throw out the area of the schools. But this is all unrestricted. So it's 10 meters. And if you think you need more information, fine. I have no problem with that.
But in reference to what was done for Newton North and is still done today, to the permanent, you know, there's some similarities to the office lot to know of that, in that it's a lot that is not fully utilized every day. So 40 spaces were taken out of 150 in Austin Street lot, and Newton North students were allowed to purchase permits from the school. And I don't know exactly what they charge, because the ordinance was written to allow the school to establish the fee to cover administrative costs. So I don't think it was maybe $20-$25 or something. I don't think there was a significant fee for it. But I think that parallel, it's certainly a policy decision for the board if you want to waive the fee for a new business. We could have other villages saying, what about us? Like my three states and Newton Center, or other places where there is more competition for parking. So if you were to do something like this, you have to be very clear that it's only being done in a place where the meters are not utilized. And a couple of you, I think, went to that parking presentation a couple of last week, so it might flavor your perspective a little bit on how charging or not charging for parking influences behavior. But the minor concern would just be, if you do it for Rockdale, you're going to get every other village wanting the same deal.
I would not be opposed to a $25 fee. That's not a bad idea. If they want it bad enough, they'll pay $25. I don't disagree with that.
David?
I was going to reference the parking forum also, and one of the PAC recommendations, and which is also a PAC, the Transportation Advisory Group recommendation, which is to move more toward demand-based pricing throughout the city, where some areas that might have very high demand for parking, we would consider increasing the price there. And other areas where we have low demand for parking, maybe in Melrose Street, for instance, we would lower the price. And maybe that would shift demand in some way.
There's another possibility here, too. I don't know what time limits are on the meters now, but maybe if you go into the 12-hour meters and stuff like that, you can put in so that they don't have to go on every half hour or three quarters an hour to put the quarters in the meter. You can't contract the disagreement.
There's an hour time limit, which is done prior to my tenure.
Is that what's here now?
I don't know if it was done to try to discourage MBTA or all-day use. But
yeah,
six-hour limit. The only place in the city that has a six-hour.
What the MBTA has done now, there was a parking lot there on Austin Street.
Yeah.
And now they've started charging, so you don't see anybody in the parking lot.
So
everybody's all over the neighborhood because they're charging now.
Yeah.
Just a quick question. Can you just describe the area? I'm not familiar with this lot. I want to drive it. And but I want to just, is there parking on side streets around
here? The back is.
Yeah.
Where the back is coming
down. Oh, yeah.
Well, by the bank. Well, by the bank. What's the address? It's 307 Auburn Street. Well, by the bank, but you've got to go all the way around now to come.
Is the driveway into this? Is there one from both?
There's only one way in. It's a one-way street coming from Lexington. Go from Dodd. Go to Lexington Street. See the way you're coming. And you'll see an entrance. After the office doors, there's an entrance.
Father Johnson.
Alderman Salvucci, this is Ward 4. Have you talked to Alderman Burney about that?
I did have a little discussion with him.
I didn't
see the great importance of discussing this because of the fact that it's a civil, to me it's a civil matter. I'm understating the thing, yeah. But
well, I mean, I, you know,
they know about it, let's put it that way. Okay. They haven't bitten me yet, so.
Okay. Well, my concern is the fairness of it, and I think David, to Alderman Fuller's point, maybe looking at and studying this, is to just pull out 10 meters, even if it's a $25 charge. I just, you know, I could see the people on the new center get, you know, calling out. And so I think we need to be very careful about how we do something like this. So I think if the, you know, the demand parking, if this is a good way, well, what would it be, high demand? What would your recommendation be?
Ms. Wister. Would you have it, Ms. Wister? You're welcome.
I apologize. Did Mr. Cuffell speak on this already?
Brief.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're okay with this? No. Okay.
We're in the middle of the
discussion. Okay. I was surprised to see this because because the lesson we learned with the Newton Center permanent parking was as much as it did end up making the businesses a little bit happier, the burden on the city to implement that plan was such that the cost benefit just wasn't there. I understand there's a problem we have to address. I completely agree. I know the mess that's going on there. I agree. And it will make the businesses happier. But the cost to the city, we got to come up with a better solution that's going to both help the businesses in a way that isn't going to cripple our people. It was a nightmare to try to maintain that permitting problem. That's why we ended it in Newton Center, not because it didn't make the center better. It did. It's just the cost of making the center better was like...
There's three or four different entities involved with it. That was what the problem was before. I think what Alderman Salvucci is saying, he just wants someone to be able to write a check. The banks would just already be put there, and someone can write a check for $25 or whatever. And then
the other one you're talking about was an $80 cost for the parking space, which I was trying to say for nothing. But then it was suggested a $25 permit, which is what they did to the kids at high school on the Austin Street last month. 25 sounds reasonable to me, too. Hey, you know, whatever you decide, that's no big deal. It's just that the parking lot isn't being used to its fullest, and the figure that I got one year, and over last year, the year before, was total income of $13,000. It's hardly worth sending the guy over there to collect it. Take all the meters out.
That's an interesting idea.
Well, I think the advantage that might be here for the businesses is that if they've got their people behind the building, and guaranteed there that we open up spaces for customers in front on the street. I think it's not necessarily the same problem as the center, where I think there was a much broader number of people who were going to be participating in it. I think what the advantage would be is you'd have a targeted, limited number of businesses that could participate, and if the main one's going to be the bank. Can we in some way put the burden of administration on the bank, which should be able to collect money and give stuff out in exchange for money fairly easily?
That's always a possibility. But I want you to understand something.
No.
The parking is up front. The bank has a policy that no employees can use those parking spaces.
That's good.
That's why I'm trying to get them out of the business of the bank.
Yeah, and I think that says, Jive, with what you said at the forum, that you tried to send people who have one need for parking to a place that's appropriate for it, and then so it's really easy for somebody driving by who wants to do business there to, okay, there are enough spaces, I'll stop here, it's available, as opposed to, I've got no way to stop here.
As far as the other businesses, you've got a grocery store, you've got a restaurant, the bank pretty much takes up the whole lot. There's two buildings the bank has on that Auburn Street side. I think the grocery store used to be a drugstore. I don't know what, there's a couple others, but as far as employees, I don't think you're going to find that many.
So 10 spaces, do you think the bank would use 8 of them or more?
How can you use them all?
Well, maybe that might not be fair to the other people in the block.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is this is the reason I'm sitting here. If anybody else wants to jump in and bail them, they have a right to do it. I'm not trying to say that it's just exclusively for the bail. That's what my aim is.
Okay, Alderman Swiston, and I have Alderman Johnson, Alderman Kalis.
So there's that strip that is for the local, I can't remember what number is there, that only deaf people park. But there's that whole section where, I mean, it looks like dirt, but people are only parked there.
What dirt? Where?
So you have the whole parking lot. You have the parking lot, right? Here's the parking lot that is behind the bank. Here's the one-way street, right? And then this goes down towards Dunkin' Donuts, right? This is always parked full. There's no meters.
That's
who parking there?
And we won't let the bank free people pay.
Who parks there?
I have no idea.
The local
post office, I imagine, for some people. But the guy that owns it will not let the bank people park there.
Interesting. It's okay.
Because that's a big lot.
It is a huge lot.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, then we'd have to pay it off and we'd have to charge parking fees.
Alderman Johnson.
Generally, speaking, Chairman Ciccone, I'm not for free parking. Okay. I think the city needs to kind of break even. So I would like David Flint and whichever to, what would be the break even point? How much is it utilized? I mean, we don't know. I mean, we have an observation by Alderman Sabuzzi, but how often is it used? And if it's a very infrequently used parking lot, 7 days a week, then to Alderman Salvucci's point, then maybe it is free parking. Or you give free permits so you don't get commuters or something like that. But if it's a utilized lot at all, then it's like the fee to be commensurate with the utilization. So if you could give us, I have no idea. I park it, well, I don't now, but when I get a cobbler over there, you park there all the time.
And now they do the PA charges, which you might get more under.
Yeah, that's not what
they haven't discovered the place yet.
Well,
it's been a long time now since they started charging over there.
No, that's the thing. They're looking for free parking for us.
Well, it's music. That's why they're not coming home.
Right.
Okay, Alderman Kalis.
I was just going to make a motion to hold to study utilization, to get a recommendation from Mr. Flint on pros, cons, and options, and to understand revenue a bit better.
Okay, the motion to hold. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, hold.
All right, back to committee.
Enjoy the memorial.
Mr. Clint. Just going to check it out.
She's going to report that. She's going to report.
I still have a gut reaction that we're still undoing Teddy's mistakes.
Okay. We're on the 146-12, Director of Planning and Development. Requesting possible amendment to Chapter 19 to allow the Commissioner of Department of Public Works to restrict parking up to 10 feet away from crosswalks. Dave, are you here for that?
Yeah, because there's a very short
practice. Yeah.
Just requesting an ordinance change so that the Commissioner of DPW would be able to restrict parking up to 10 feet. It's a safety concern. As an example, in Lucasville on Walnut Street, we have meters that are really within inches of a crosswalk. And so the pedestrians can't see the motorists can't see the pedestrians. And in one case, the police department just went ahead and temporarily took out a meter, took out a parking space. Normally, it would have to go to traffic council and sort of wait in the queue and that would be removed. So this really is an attempt just to enable DPW to more quickly be able to handle a safety issue without having to wait and go through traffic council. I know that some folks think that 10 feet might not be long enough. It should maybe be longer than 10 feet. But since we have the starting point here for your discussion.
Okay, which one, Dr. Alderman Hyde? I just got one quick question. Cap, I can't remember. Is there a state law requiring a certain amount of distance from a crosswalk?
I'm not sure either. I'll look it up.
Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, Clint, you have it?
Not
that you're aware of.
Let me check the city ordinance book, too.
Okay, thank you. I have Alderman Swiston and then Alderman Fuller.
It may not apply to crosswalks, but make an impact that many crosswalks do. You know, your distance from a corner, your distance from a driveway is 5 feet, and your distance from a corner is 7 feet, right? Even if it's unmarked by default, it's what? I think it's 20.
There's an expert right here that can answer it. Go ahead, Clint.
The ordinance says it's 20 feet standard, although we don't often find it unless there's a complaint or a timeline problem. The ordinance also gives us, meaning public works, the discretion to go up to 50 feet at a corner on a case-by-case basis.
I'm just vaguely remembering my studying for the driver's license, and I think in the driver's license rules they tell you you can't park within 20 feet of a corner, even when it's not marked. 5 feet to the driveway. Now what?
First of all, I think the thrust of this is excellent. I think taking this decision, not having to have this type of safety decision go through traffic council and instead be handled administratively, is excellent. I would look to Clint and David to give us some suggestions on what the right language is. I'm not sure that any of us here at the table, other than perhaps you, have enough expertise to know the number of feet. If it should say something like up to X number of feet at the discretion of the traffic engineer, and if you could help us fill in the blank with what the right number of feet would be, I would be interested in
your opinion. Yes,
director.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I know.
My preference would be if I could reach for a little more real estate. Would be to go up to 50 feet. Now, I'm not going to wipe out parking in Roosevelt Square. I'm not going to. It would be a very seldom but necessary measure in some cases. And the reason I have 50 feet is it's effectively two car lengths in some cases. The example of the memo of 100 Walnut Street, the Ed Center, the crossing of Walnut Street at the bottom of the hill between Watertown and Linwood Ave, We did go through car length at that location.
Still a death wish.
I think there are a couple of, what's that?
Still a death wish down there.
Yeah, but I think that...
I mean, it's better. Don't get me wrong. It's better.
Yeah. So, you know, I think obviously 50 feet would be the right dimension.
We should imagine.
No way is that any kind of blanket approval. We're not going to go through these field squares and start taking out a parking spot on each side of the crosswalk. Because generally, if you're crossing, the parking space to the right is not affecting your vision. You're looking to the left to see the cars coming, you know, in your lane that you're trying to cross first. So I just think 50 feet would basically cover everything. And the Ed Center crosswalk, I think, is a classic example of needing that extra dimension to try to make things as safe as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, the Ed Center has worked quite well. The police have been down there quite a bit ticketing, but the parents and others associated with the Ed Center, I think they understand why it's there. And yes, it's inconvenient that I think about six parking spaces have been pushed further away, but it was, I think, the right thing to do.
Alvin Johnson?
I'm conceptually for, obviously, the safety thing. However, I think there are some crosswalks which tend to be more, you know, they're busy, like in the Village Square. One, those of you who are familiar with Gay Middle School, on Sundays, there's a Chinese school there, and they have to have a detail officer. I think there's supposed to be, not one always there. But they park right up against the crosswalk there at the school. You know, so I think in village centers and schools and at the school areas, that would be, you know, like a first you would go up to, so maybe there's some sort of a, just to give the commissioner some a little bit of direction, because how is he going to determine what gets 50, what gets 20, what gets 50? If you're saying with a range of 20 to 50, because in your village center, you depending on how many crosswalks, then you need the center.
Well, it could be negative. It could be almost zero in some places.
I think
that cars to the right is much less critical than the car to the left if you're standing in the problem.
No, I don't disagree, but I think having the wider vision, line of sight, in village centers, in crosswalks near school, elementary school, middle school, high school, sometimes you think for high school students, they're smarter than they are, and you don't need to treat them the same as the elementary kids who get to the best of them. They got out of 6 or 7 years. So that would be my suggestion, is the, you know, you can guide in those high density type areas. You know, there's some places where crosswalks are. There's one on, I think, on Lowell Avenue here between like 8 and
Do you want to leave wording in there that says it's something that you think might have been made by a mistake, that someone can appeal it, so we'll come back here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Captain, did you want to add anything?
Well, I just looked at the city ordinance for the campus with the mail, and there's all sorts of measures for hydrants and intersections and nothing about crosswalks anywhere. I can't even put my hand to say on the state law book, but I'm pretty sure that the state law confers in the city ordinance is town by that.
Okay.
On that issue. I'm 98% sure, so I
just threw a blank cap. That's why I refer
to it. Look, I happen to have a parking ticket book with me tonight, and nothing is on minimum distance in the port. So that's another thing.
Sure.
It's
probably
just
because of the handicap mark. August Wister. Yeah, I just checked in my time for driving because it doesn't say anything about crosswalks, but 5 feet from the corner and 5 feet from the driveway. That said, I also was wondering, you know, and there are other places where, like in parking lots or whatever, they'll have certain parking spaces that'll say for compact cars only. And I'm wondering, so that we don't use as many spaces, whether A at 5 feet and then you have the first space that's above them the compact car only. The real issue is when you have a really huge car, that's why you want the whole clearance, because, you know, you've got the big car and you can't see the around it. And I'm wondering if, you know, if you could still allow parking, but it's a smaller car.
I'm going to make it too difficult to enforce.
I understand, but I'm not saying that. But the concept of a compact, there's all different reasons why compact cars don't get used. For people who drive more compact cars, there's all kinds of business for giving compact cars better parking. But, you know, I mean, and this would also happen to make it so that we don't have to move the parking spot and still potentially have it be safer.
Unless you have someone that's in a wheelchair that can't see over any kind of car.
Well,
there.
Not can't right. see over any car either, but it is.
Well, how do you
trying to find a middle ground here.
Yeah. First, how do you define compact car?
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
into a touch area.
I think this language is going to be changed a little bit. To give you some leeway and to also have a chance for an appeals road that people can go down. So that might be something, David, you want to take back to, was it Candace that drew this? Oh, do you want to just reword it a little bit and we can bring it back?
I just ask, I'm sort of curious what planning field they needed to submit something on behalf of DPW.
Well, originally this was thinking of this as a traffic council issue, so we really need to dock it an item to remove that one parking space and do it. So sort of, you know, we discussed it with maybe better not, you know, not to have to go to traffic council.
Okay.
Go to orders.
So we'll just have that wearing change a little bit, and we'll bring it back. All right, I can take a motion to hold on this one for now.
I'll move it.
Okay, Alderman Fuller moves hold. Any further discussion? All those in favor? 7-0. I'm joined by Alderman Hine, too. I neglected to say he was present. Sorry for that.
Alderman Schwartz asks to see note that she's just next door.
Okay. 78-12. The Honorable the Mayor proposing amendments to Section 19-9 and 19-19 of the City of Eastern Parish Ordinances 2007 to increase the penalties for handicap parking violations in Section 19-9 and to clarify the handicap parking violation penalties. That's right. Not only to spaces on public ways, but also to handicap spaces on private property, both in the public when in accordance with Section 19-199. To update language in Section 19-199, regulating minimum width of handicap spaces, drive lines pertaining to cross-hatch areas, as required by state law, and to reference governing architectural access board regulations. Okay. I asked this be referred back because there was a couple of questions that weren't answered, and I think it might change some folks' mind on this. I think the whole purpose to have this item brought forward by the mayor was to send a clear message that we don't want people parking in handicapped spots. I don't think a $100 fine is enough of a penalty. I think, you know what, to send a clear message, it should start at $200. And then subsequent offenses can be 300 and more. I think that's the right thing to do. That's the whole purpose of having these parking spaces. They're for handicapped folks. Not for some guy that's perfectly able to park anywhere in the parking lot and be able to walk somewhere. You know, it just infuriated me when I saw it. And I said, you know, $100. $100 is a, you know, it's a fine, but I don't think it's just hitting people hard enough for them to understand that you're not supposed to be parking there. And to answer the other question as to how a police officer would know a subsequent offense, when you run someone's driver's license, their driver history comes up. So if they've been written this citation before, it's going to say it right there. So a subsequent offense can be found out as soon as they run the driver's license, you run the history. It'll come up on this date,
in this town, they were cited for a handicap violation.
Right. Why does license a car registration? What do they run?
You can run both. You can run a car registration, which would give you active, suspended, revoked. You can do that, or you can do with offenses.
But offenses, a citation issued to a registration on a car, not to a driver, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, now that you've said this is a parking violation, not a moving violation, so that would be a deterrent.
How did they have a way to track registration?
So subsequent offense would be, or that would be hard to track, but, yeah, and you got any insight on that?
That's the way we do the commercial vehicle, which is a problem. In other words, you enter a special, IT would have to develop a way to enter a violation, then we have to look at subsequent. I don't think that's... And then the parking co-ops still have access, you know, laptop computers in there.
Okay, so that the law department has asked me anyway to make this uniform on private as well as public, and I think you were in agreement with that as well, Captain. I'm okay with that. If we can't do a subsequent offense, though, I would like to make a motion to have at least $200. Alderman Johnson.
Is there any cap? I know on fees and fines in the past, where you can only go so high.
300.
300 zip?
Okay. Yes.
That's still the laws.
Yeah, right. I knew there was a cap, but you know if the 300. Wasn't there, there's a fine to park in a crosswalk, too? Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was a fine parking in a crosswalk.
Also a place where you don't want to, because you have to use that.
Correct. Alderman Fuller, and then I have Alderman Yates.
I'm sorry, Captain, can you repeat that one more time? You can or cannot do a different time for a subsequent violation?
Well, if you were to pass, that would be for the Board of Alderman to increase the fine for subsequent. But the only way a police officer would know is they'd have to have a laptop computer on the scene and query the registration, which means somebody would have to enter that information. There would have to be a special database created for it.
The pocket control officers don't have that access.
Yeah, we've done that for the commercial vehicle ordinance because the trucks are violating all my pocket ordinance are entitled to a warrant before they get a $25 citation. So there is an ability to do it. It's difficult. But the problem is 98% of these citations would be written by parking laws. They don't have a place to computer literate by contract. They don't have laptops in the house. There's no way they can access that. So it really...
Alderman Johnson? I'm sorry, Alderman Yates and then Alderman Johnson.
I think this goes to the second. It was not clear. Well, actually, it was pretty clear. It was wrong. It was stated by the representative of the police department last time that they had been informed previously by the law department that they could not enforce handicapped parking violations on private property that they had not been invited onto. And in passing, I mentioned this to Marie Lawler from the law department, and she said that that was not in fact the case and that there was a misunderstanding or not that an updated piece of advice generated. So the memo that's in here, I think, does clearly state that if this revised ordinance passes with the cross-references to the purposes that are being achieved, that police would be fully authorized to enforce, without being requested by the landowner, on any parking violations or handicap parking in the city.
That's correct.
So I think that's the important thing here, that the second item after this was drawn up trying to overcome that the understanding we had there. So can I ask the representative of the police department, have you received this opinion from the law department now, and has it been communicated that if this ordinance passes, you can enforce handicap parking anywhere?
All of the meetings, I did get the memo from Attorney Rudy Lawler, and I talked to the chief about it today, as a matter of fact. And we've always been able to go on a private lot. However, for us to write a ticket on private, a parking ticket on private property right now, we have to use the city limits block, which we don't give parking for lots. And the first offense is $15, and the second is $25. If an appeal goes to court, we don't have the mechanism to set parking for lots to court. They go to the parking commission for appeals. So if you're going to pass an ordinance, it needs to say that we can use the handheld units or a regular parking ticket to write public way off by the vote. Or we can't enforce
it. Is the text that's offered here, does that allow you to?
No. No, I'm not an attorney, but I'll tell you why. If you look at 199 section B, small D, of the city ordinance,
right.
Talks about a $15 first offense,
right.
25 second. That language has to change.
Okay. Now, I think that's a problem there.
Mm-hmm.
That we're not achieving one of the major things.
Well, I think all you need to change that language to $100 fine, and that can be written on the regular police citation in our electronic citation.
Okay. This is on the page that says draft for discussion.
519-199 section B is small.
Do we have that?
Yeah.
I'm not
sure.
We have
bottom of the table. I have a copy of that. I have a copy of it.
Oh, it's
a very bottom.
This is a different
part. Yeah, well, that's part of the thing here was the cross-reference.
This is brand new.
She said slick, though.
It's
a long rule, isn't it?
Well, it took out,
this is a revised one from the list.
So the language that
we put in... we had previous was wrong.
Okay, so what we got put in there is it's a match the public way files. And then we're good. So if we can have that added, I think that'll work.
This is the problem. Right here.
Okay,
so
that's
all right.
I'll see
you.
I'll
talk
to
you. I'm not an attorney either.
But
I think the draft before you covers what you're trying to do with the next old section 19-9, which is the penalty, and 19-199, which is
correct.
Can we give the officer a copy of the agenda? Apparently it's what we're working for.
Right. And that was what Marie said to me, that the police department shared a conversation with the police department, and they were in agreement that they wanted to keep everything uniform.
Which is fine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Perfect sense. But it just wasn't clearly as the warden and superintendent says what the FDA has stated.
This is brand new. This is what we had at the last meeting. That's
right.
Old. Gone.
So what's brand new?
Okay. The contract.
There's like the 7812 draft discussion, 514-212, is that gone?
I think
that's public way. right? That's what we have for a public way right now, capped at $100 fine.
In a handicapped public spot is right now $100.
$100.
Yes.
Thank you.
And the change that we have for 19-199, which regulates private property, is by having D reworded to say purely that the penalty for parking in violation of any provision of this ordinance shall be provided as in section 19-9. So saying what we're going to do in private, whatever we do on in public.
Correct.
So it's going to be 100.
So section D at the bottom of the thing, it says 7812, you're saying the penalty for parking violation of any provision of this ordinance shall be as provided in section 19-9-1.
And then except on the second page, in the last paragraph, a separate section can provide the overall schedule of fines. That section currently the 19-9 fines $100 for the parking and it's a provision of public way, which is not referred to as such. So that needs to look at, you've got to add private way and stuff. If we need to have Marie go through this whole thing. Because you're trying to add public and private, right? And
well,
you're trying to reduce
it, I think there's already provision under 199 that states about the private way. So.
But on this last paragraph, you don't need to mention private way?
I don't think so. I think
right here, it's off.
It's 19-9.
I think we should have somebody from legal look at it after we decide.
Finished document that doesn't have the cross reference. Yeah. Just this one, not last week.
My only change is, and I strongly urge this, that it goes up. I'm not saying we have to go to the max, but I don't want to stay at the lead in either. Let's go to the middle of the road for 200 bucks. I think that's a fair statement. We're telling people, look it, you shouldn't be here. Yes, Alderman Swiston. I'm sorry, Alderman Johnson and Alderman Swiston.
I thought you were, at one point I thought I heard someone say that you're going to do a second offense. Is that too hard to track? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Second
offense? Okay. The parking control officers just don't have the...
So when...
The capabilities.
Right.
Let me rethink one thing, though. The parking control officers do have an electronic handheld which they use. I would have to talk to the vendor. Now that I think of it, they can enter someone holds there, which they do. So if they have someone holds, which means that somebody has not paid 6 parking tickets and they can be towed.
So they're showing subsequent.
So they're showing that. If they have a database for that, now I'm thinking, but I have to call the vendor. I don't think they're in their office. I don't have to find out if that second offense, it could be flagged. So
okay. We need some answers to this.
I have to contact ACS our vendor and ask them a question whether they're going to charge us for it. It's not a contract, but I could ask them that question. But I stand corrected. The copy that I brought was not with the process. So this looks like we covered.
Okay.
So
no problem.
But I'm going to have to talk to ACS if you want me to.
Then we would need the laptop or the computer literacy. Anything like that.
And then you could do
150
and second
offense. And yes, future offense is 300. Okay. All right. Alderman Swiston, that I collect. Let's collect. Is this in regards to this?
I was curious. Is there a time frame for a second offense? If you get, you start over at the end of this year, or is the second offense within so many months of the first offense? I'm just curious, is there a standard definition of that?
Well, it wouldn't be tracked for at least 20 days anyway, but either they pay it or appeal it, right, Cap?
Yes.
So how long does it last?
How long does it stand in this
place?
For something like that, would be up to us. To let the, I mean, it would be depending on the ordinance.
Okay. If I recall correctly, one of the reasons we had originally argued for the first offense to be 100 at the time is that because, rightly or wrongly, we're going to catch a lot of people in the first time, and it's a lesson learned, okay? And saying, look, you need to learn our new rules. We are serious about handicaps, and you clearly, somebody has not, you know, your mommy didn't help to teach you very well. Stop parking here. Okay.
You talk that when you get your driver's test.
Hear me out.
What a handicap thing. No, I don't agree with that, but go ahead.
Hear me out. I'm just reminding you that that was what was said at the last meeting when we were first arguing for the 100. But that said, that doesn't mean that there is no. That's your first offense. I don't care if you made your first offense 10 years ago. You got your first offense. This is your second offense. Your second offense is your second offense. I don't care how long ago it was. You learned your lesson. So that would be my argument for there isn't a time limit. You don't suddenly get to reset your clock after X amount of time, if you're going to go that way. But I'm okay with 200 as well. I'm just saying, I'm just reminding you that when we were first talking about the lower first, it was because the idea that it was a tuition fee. That said, my question, and I really remember because I was sitting right next to the officer. The officer was so adamant that they could not go on private property. I feel like this is such a turnaround all of a sudden that now we can go on private property. I'm not against it. I'm just wondering what changed since the last time we talked. Because
it was
so adamant.
He was misinformed. It's probably a long-standing thing.
Okay.
And they never updated it.
I just want to know.
That was one of the purposes of this item, was to remove that problem.
And we're confident, and the police chief is comfortable. I just felt like there was something. I don't want us to change this, and the police still feel like they can't go on private property. I would like to hear that the police
chief met with Guri Law this afternoon.
He's
comfortable with it.
Okay.
So, Jack, must you know something different?
No, he is comfortable.
It just struck me so strongly that officer was absolutely adamant that he couldn't do it.
That was what he had been told previously.
All the time.
Well, as you know, last time I was kind of one of the people arguing that it should be $100 for the fine. I have since been convinced that $200 is fair and reasonable. I've listened to, after reading Jason's letter and some of the other advocates here.
Is this Jason?
Yep. And thinking about it, after I left the last meeting, I was thinking about it. And there's nothing that bugs me more than seeing people drive in at the Star Market or something, pull into a handicap spot, run into the store, and I'm parking over here, and it's like it really bugs me, and I think that the effort to try to do the work to find subsequent offenses, for the number of times we're probably going to catch somebody, I don't know whether that's worth it, but I think a $200 first offense and every offense, people aren't going to do it very often if they get that $200 ticket. I'm not concerned about a second offense going up to $300, because if they're not going to learn a $200, they're not going to learn a $300 either. Mm-hmm. So I would like, I'm prepared to support raising the fines to $200.
Straight across the board.
You look at the other cities and towns, only one has second offense down there.
Waltham's gone to $200.
For me, the effort and the work, I don't know whether it's even going to be worth it, but I'm glad to see that Marie Lawler has enlightened us all on what the law says. But I think also when you're talking about private property, the types of citations that will be issued are going to be complaint-driven. Probably, especially for closed parking lots and things like that. The police officers aren't going to be patrolling interior garages on a regular basis. But, if Jason calls the police department and says someone's parking in this building, get over there, then the police have the right to go over there. That's clear now. So, and I hope they do it,
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, I'm prepared to support $200. Forget about the second offense. But I'd like to see a newspaper article maybe in the tab or something, throwing it out there to the citizenry that
we're not going to,
you know, we're taking a hard line on this now, and citizens beware. But, you know, I've been convinced that $200 is not unreasonable, so I'm prepared to support that.
I still am very interested in finding out the information if we can find, if it is feasible to figure out whether it's a second offense and find a higher amount for that. So I think the only way to do this, to hold this one more time, is I think if we can do 150 first, 300 seconds, that is also an option I think we should discuss. I think if we can hold it just for till our next, I don't know how quickly we can talk to the vendor, but if we can hold it for two more weeks. And by the way, I think if that's people would like to speak.
Certainly. Who's first?
Yes, I am.
State your name, sir.
Nathan Rosenberg, 50 Hamlet One Parkway. Thank you for all the party and, you know, one of the things I wanted to point out is, I know you and others have talked about, well, it really involves someone parking in the handicap space and running inside. For us who are trying to be and remain independent and drive ourselves, for us, myself and others, in particular, the person who parks in a handicap parking space is absolutely galling, anathema, whatever, because if that's the only handicap parking space, then we are unlikely to make an appointment, get into a supermarket, whatever it is, because we need to have the ability to swing the door wide out so we can get out, and whether we're on crutches or in a wheelchair, we need that extra room. So just because there's an empty space next to it doesn't mean we can't get out and go to whatever we were supposed to do. And the people who do that, yeah, there's a small amount who just make a mistake. And some, you know, should be saying, oh, it'll only be a minute. They actually are. They shouldn't do it. Usually those people aren't caught because they're not there long. The people who get caught are the ones that are the most annoying because it's their intention to violate the law. They don't care anything about the fact that they are precluding anyone who has disabilities from going about our business. They just don't care. It's like I was in a handicapped parking space at Milton, and my wife Donna had gone inside, and a guy in a BMW pulled into the handicapped space next to me, which was the last HP space open, and I noticed there was no tag. I looking back, I didn't see a plate. And he jumped right out, and I said, excuse me, but, you know, that's for a handicapped person. Oh, I'll only be a minute. I'm going to the ATM. And I said, please move the car. He gave me a few poor little words, went in, ran out, and was gone. If I had been pulling up to try and park and say that I was in, was occupied, I would have had to turn around and see where else that I could go that would still let me get out and not be not too far away. That's the other part of the handicapped space, that it's not only needing to have the width, but also the proximity to where we're, you know, most other people can, unless they have other illnesses, and park a block away, maybe, yes, it's an inconvenience, but they can do it and still go about their business. For us, that's a thought. And so the spaces for us are as important as the fines which the state has allowed you to set. It's, you know, they have given special recognition that this really does affect people's lives. And so from our standpoint, we would want you to start at 200. If it's feasible to have the follow-up for subsequent offenses at 300, certainly we would want that. What we need is essentially, I hate to use the description, a 2x4 between the person's eyes. So when they get that ticket and they know what it's for, that they will hesitate the next time. Some of them, let's face it, will just keep doing it. And if that's the case, well, there'll be some money for the city property, and at some point, maybe, you know, something else will happen. But, you know, it's got to be, I hate to say it, painful. And the nice people who make the mistake, I hate to say it, if they stay here long enough for someone to actually see that they're there, that they should understand they can't do that.
Want to speak? Just state your name, please.
I'm Rob Grizzo, co-chair of the Commission of Design. Our commission voted unanimously to support a 200 outline. We felt that 100 was certainly not something that people want to change their habits from. We felt that 200 was a heavy enough line to make people understand that they just can't do that. And the approach to go up to higher fines with consecutive violations is a good idea. It's not. I know I compared a number of cities and their violations and sent them out to the media. And more places are going up to 300. Malden and Medford, as a matter of course now, are just $300 period. And many places are taking the jump from 100 to 200 pretty easily. Like Waltham, Worcester, Framingham, just to name a few, are at 200. And I think that the size of the city that Newton is commensurate to someone like someplace like Framingham. And I think 200 offline is applicable and appropriate.
Thank you. Yeah.
Just thinking this thing through about that handheld unit, it goes back to the use of Mr. Chairman about a moving violation or parking. And it just dawned on me that even if we could say that a particular car had violated once before, we wouldn't know who the driver is.
Mm-hmm.
So the first offense would be the son with the daughter, and then as a parent. So the question is, does that map? We wouldn't know who did it. It would be we'd be citing the car, not the driver. Now, in some states, they have red light cameras, and that is citing the car, not the driver. The owner is getting billed. So that's just something that I wanted to go on. We don't necessarily have the driver.
Now, something like that is not a surchargeable offense, so you could actually do a tow to the car, and if it was your kid driving, guess what?
Right. I just want you to be aware of that if this handheld unit says, yes, there was a previous offense, we wouldn't know who the driver is. Just the car and the registration, that's it.
Right. There's still work to be done. I'll look at somebody 1 second. There's still work to be done on this one, and I know some folks want to get to that committee meeting that's going on. But before we do, I think that we'll give this back to Marie, but I'd like to talk about if in fact we're going to do a subsequent or not, but we can get to that after David talks. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, I agree with, I don't know if it's about, you know, after we talked last time, I stated that I thought $100 was enough because I think that's a lot of money. And I then drove around and I realized how many times I actually would stop at Citizens Bank and see somebody in front of there in the handicapped spot. And it's about common decency, and I think I like what you suggested about 200 being the first and yeah. in subsequent, you know, it sounds like we're going to have issues with the following up.
We don't know.
We'll need to wait, but, you know, I think...
We can bring it back up in a couple of weeks. I think, Cap, we can get an answer from you.
Yeah, you call the vendor tomorrow.
Okay, that's great. And I can speak with Marie tomorrow, as long as she's feeling well enough to be into work. But, Alderman Heine, you got a question?
Well, I would like to see us act tonight on at least 200. And maybe we have to amend this. There seems to be some questions, some glitches that need to be worked out. You know, I'd like
finance after all.
I'd like to move at least to 200 and pass that tonight. But I'll go put a vote with the committee. I just want to see this done. I think it's been going on. I've looked at some of the dates of Jason and Rob. Some of this has been going on for a while now, and I would like to see us act at least to raise the five now, get that implemented. We can always amend it when we find out if there's a way of doing this.
And yes, their tickets got to be redone over again.
Yeah.
That's right. We wait a couple of weeks.
All right. Well,
then we can get it straight across the board.
I'll go with the will of the committee, but I really think...
I don't think it's
2 weeks, though. I really do.
Yeah. Alderman Johnson?
Well, if you were to pass this out of committee, whatever the number is, and without the subsequent, that could be... It has to go to finance, so finance could do the subsequent, so that,
The vice chair of finance is here.
A thought, which is, why don't we suggest, go ahead and vote on the first offense, and if the second offense is feasible, go ahead and vote on what we would recommend for that second one.
Subject to second call.
But it's going to go to finance.
Right.
We'll have the information for finance. So.
And we can just, I can concede our report to the finance.
Right.
We can do that.
And that gets you moving it. Yeah, process.
And so I think the only question is, do we do 200 and 300, 200 for the first offense and 300 for the second, or 150 and 300? I don't have a strong...
I think that's fine. Is that the motion you have, 200?
That would be my motion. 200 first offense and second offense, 300, assuming it's feasible with both our technology and our union contracts.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's... We're addressing it from the public safety committee's point of view. We let finance worry about how to implement the second offense, right? Because it becomes time and money and effort.
Spending language. We wanted to be stronger for
right.
the second offense.
Right.
And if we can do the subsequent offense, yes. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll just keep in during. The full board meeting, I can concede our report to the finances. Okay. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor of 200 and subsequent 300?
Right.
And 7 and 1.
And just to make clear that would also apply to the handicapped parking spaces on public and private.
Yeah, we're keeping uniform, correct.
Yep. Can I ask the question before we go to the next one? I think it's probably when was the last time that our all these fines were reviewed as far as are they Because I know that with the budget process, the administration talks about MMT, but I'd like to know, maybe David, can you tell us when the last time our fines for, parking school buses or, parking crosswalks?
City ordinance fines, you mean, all the jobs, right?
Yes, right. So let's then review to see if we're finding the map.
It's been a couple of years, but I don't think
it's made much of a change. David, I'll still look at the ordinance and look at whatever the state maxes are for those various things and come back and before I docket an item? If we can't do anything, but I'd like to know. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Move NAN for the reasons discussed on the previous item.
78-12-2. One of the docket is Alvin Yates, as well as Alvin Fuller, and Ian Kalis, offering a resolution to resign the mayor, requesting to offer owners of private properties in the city the service of the new police department enforcement of properties in handicapped parking spaces where they are obliged to provide under federal and state law, which is not a no. We can do. So, Alderman Yates has moved NAN. Is there any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor of NAN? 7-0.
We're done.
Thank you.
Yeah.